Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem. Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan, Wasi Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. We will continue on today in our study of the Hebrew concept of mystical union called devakut, or cleaving. And in the course of studying that, we have been concentrating in the past few sessions on the concepts of consciousness and on the concept of soul. And we will continue on in studying that today. But first, as I do at the beginning of every shiur, I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yishkadal v'yishkadash me'rabo, bo modi v'ro kirasei, v'yamlik melkasei, v'kaya konu v'yamakon, uv'kaya dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uv'izman koryev, v'imru omein. Yehe shme'rabo mavorak, le'alam ule ome omayo, yisbarak v'yistavak, v'yisbarar v'yisramam, v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yishalal, Shmedu kadsho beraku le'elo minko berkaso vishiroso tushbakoso venekamoso da amiron beomo veyimru omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shemayo vekayim leinu veyalko Yisrael veyimru omein. O se shalom bimramov huyashe shalom oleinu veyalko Yisrael veyimru omein. Thank you very much. Let me check our recording levels here. And the default, just when I open this recording program up, which is Total Recorder, for those of you who may be curious, every time I open this up, it defaults to a level that's way too high. So it's good that I check this. All right, I think we're doing better at that level there, so we'll leave it there. And get on with our teaching. Now, as I said, we've been studying devakut, and as a subfield of that, we have gone into the study of consciousness, what it is, and as another subfield of the study of devakut, both of these things being necessary really to understand what it means to speak of devakut, union with God. We have to study consciousness, and we have to study soul. Now, you might say, why is that necessary? In order to understand what Torah means when it speaks in various places in the Torah about devakut, or cleaving to the Lord, why do we need to understand what consciousness is? And I should put it this way, what it means to be conscious, and secondly, what it means to have a soul. Well, because what it means when Torah speaks of devakut, cleaving to Adonai, the Lord, what it means is that it's a union, okay, a mystical union, between man and God, but through the agency of man's intellect with the divine intellect, in which case you have to understand what it means to be truly conscious. Okay? Or a union between the divine soul of God and the human soul, the more human. Well, let's put it this way, the divine soul of God that's been exiled into this world and bound, and that's the word that's used in Torah, bound to a human body. Okay? So you have to understand, before you can understand devakut, which is holy union, with God, between man and God, you have to understand what the agencies are, the parts of mankind, the modalities of this union. Let's put it that way, the modalities of this union. From an Aristotelian point of view, it's an intellectual union. Divine mind with human mind. And that requires a good understanding of the concept of consciousness. What it is, whether you have it, how to get it, what are its different levels. And, or a very good understanding, or bana, of soul. Because there's, in a Neoplatonic sense, Devakut is the mystical union of that part of the soul that is bound to a human body that makes contact with and joins with or unites with or has communion with the divine soul. Yahira, the soul of souls, the oversoul. I like soul of souls much better than oversoul. Oversoul is just way too New Age. Soul of souls. The soul of God, so to speak. So you've got to know what a soul is, what the levels of soul are, and how to advance through them and attain the higher levels of soul before your soul can have any hope to engage or in or achieve devakut, cleaving, clinging, union. Hot pursuit of, I like that one, hot pursuit, close pursuit, excuse me, not hot pursuit, close pursuit of the divine soul. And the same goes for consciousness, as I just described. So we've been discussing this in the last few meetings, and we'll discuss this in some more detail today. Now, one other thing that I want to say before we get started on today's teaching per se is I want to go over, reinforce maybe, let's put it that way, reinforce a little bit of what I taught in our last meeting. Excuse me. Colds have been going around here, and I don't know, or it could be some spring hay fever type symptoms that I'm getting. So please excuse me if I have to clear my throat. Or cough. It's a part of the curse of the body. It goes with having a body, doesn't it? Being in the body under its spell. Okay. Well, before I get into more on the levels of soul, which I intend to speak on today, I want to reemphasize, maybe explain a little better, something I started to teach on in the last class. And that is, what is a human being? What is a human being? Oh, yeah, we all know what we are. I mean, we're it. But we never think about it, really. We just are. We don't even think about it. We're unconscious of who and what we are. I want to bring a little bit of consciousness or awareness of that to you right now. A human being is the last of the, is said in Kabbalah, the last of the composite beings. Now, I won't get into what the others are, the first and the others are, but a composite being is what Kabbalah says we are. The last, in fact, and they're referring to creation now. Yahyajin, I can't accept private messages. Please don't do that. I'm teaching right now. This is not a chat class. So please don't interrupt me by sending me private messages. Now then, we are a composite being. We were the last being that was created in the creation of the world. The last reference to that creation is the creation of Adam, the second man, the ensouled man, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is the version of Adam that God, into whose nostril God blew his ruach, his spirit. And thus it says of Adam that that he became Chaya, a living being. Okay? So we have, from that verse in the Torah, we have right there a statement, an instruction, that we are a composite being. Our bodies were made from the dust of the earth. And to the dust of the earth shall our bodies return. But we are not just our bodies. In our bodies, God's ruach was blown through the nostrils. And that is a spirit. Spirit. That's one of the words for ruach. Now, this is not to be confused with what I will teach on just a little bit later today, which is the ruach, which is the second level of the divine soul. Okay? It goes by the same name. The second level of the divine soul is, is ruach, which means breath, wind, or spirit. But this is not the ruach that God blew into the nostrils of Adam, making him a special part of creation. Okay? In that sense, it means spirit. And in the sense of spirit that I'm going to use it, I will use the word zelem. T, as in Tom, Z-E-L-E-M, as in mercy. Zelem, which literally, I think, means image, but which in Hebrew teaching, mystical teaching, means our spiritual body. Okay? Invisible to us. Unless, of course, there are people who truly do see auras, which I absolutely believe. It is this spirit that casts off the aura that people see. Some people see. Okay, this is what is being taught to us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that God blew his ruach into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became Chaya, living. It was only when God blew his ruach, his spirit, or this spirit body, spiritual body, this zelem, into Adam's nostril, that he became a living being. Okay, as distinct from the other living beings. Now, see why this is so confusing? Because there's two creations of man. There's the creation in Genesis 1:26 through 1:27 or 8 or 9. Doesn't matter exactly. It starts at 1:26. In which God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, in our form and likeness. And he made man. It says, and he made man in his image. Male and female created he them. And it says that he blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. And he gave dominion unto them over all the other living beings. Okay, because all the animals were created and all the plants before the animals were created. So these are all living beings, right? They all have a nefesh. And this is what I was teaching on in our last meeting. They all have a nefesh. This is the animating holy spark. The holy spark, which converts something that's alive into what we call life, that which is inanimate. It distinguishes, this holy spark distinguishes that which is animate from that which is inanimate. So nefesh is the vital spark. The vital spark, okay, that separates living being from non-living being. But this is not the same thing that separates the second man from the first man. God did not blow his ruach, into the nostrils of the first man and woman. He created them and blessed them. Said, go on your way, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over all the animals and plants of the earth. This is the unenlightened man. This is lower man. A man who is animal man or vegetable man. This is not spiritual man. Spiritual man is the second creation. Now, we are taught in Kabbalah that the two versions of the creation of man are not as many Bible scholars teach. Just two accounts of the same creation. Okay, a Yahwistic versus a priestly account. No. No, that's not what it is. That's so denigrating to the beauty and awesome mystery of Torah, which is a book of instruction which God gave to us. To say that it's nothing but a hodgepodge of different versions and counts of the same events put together over 1,000 years or more by different authors. That's not at all what it is. Every word is intentional. Every teaching is intentional. There are no coincidences in Torah. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes in Torah. Every word, indeed every letter of every word, is intentional and holds the key to an unlimited, infinite number of God's secrets and mysteries. So we have two accounts of the creation of man. One is the account of creation of a lower man, a less evolved man, a less divine man, not a composite being. He is not much better than the animals in Gan Eden. He's male and female, more intelligent, but does not have God's ruach, God's spirit. That's very clear. Just read it simply, without trying to read all kinds of things into it, and it's very clear. There's one set of man and woman that's made in Genesis 1, verse 26, and a second creation of a single man, Adam, in Genesis 2, verses 6 and 7. And in that one, God breathes his ruach, his wind, his breath, his spirit, through the nostrils into this man made from the dust, from clay. And upon receiving this divine zelem, this divine image, this spiritual body, Adam, the man, became Chaya, a living being. Okay, so we have man as a composite being, versus which is the higher man, higher level of man, because not only is he more intelligent than the animals, he has a spiritual intelligence. He is a combination. He's of divine and human, of creator and created. He has a divine zelem, a divine ruach, spirit, breathed into him. Okay. He has a spiritual body that is clothed in a physical body. This is not to say anything of his soul, of his divine soul. I'm speaking now only of bodies, okay? The first man has a physical body animated by a holy spark called a nephesh. In this regard, he is no better or worse than any other animal or plant in the universe or on this earth. He does not have a spiritual body. Okay, the second creation of man, of Adam, out of the dust, does have a spiritual body. He has both a physical body that's animated by a nephesh, a holy spark from God, the animating soul, if you will, the animating spark. That's how I'm going to refer to it from here on out. It's just a nitzot, a holy spark. And he's just, and in that sense, he's exactly like the lower man, and he's exactly like, or the first creation of man, which is exactly like the animals and the plants. But in addition to the animals and plants, the first creation of man has a third part to his brain. He's a three-brained animal. He has a frontal cortex, which allows him to engage in language and higher levels of thought, which the animals do not have. Okay? This too does the second creation of man share as an attribute with the lower level creation of man. He too has a neocortex, a new cortex, a frontal cortex, a frontal lobes in his brain, a third brain. So that he has the power of intellect in addition to the powers of emotion and the powers of movement. Okay, but in addition to this, the second creation of man has a spiritual body, a zelem, blown into him in the form of God's breath or spirit, ruach. All right. So that's what separates the second creation of man from the first creation of man. We can view this as higher man or spiritual man from lower man. Okay. Now then, attached to the lower level of man, to the body indeed. And I'm going to just now, instead of talking to the lower level of man, speaking about that, I'm going to talk about this higher level man that has this spiritual body, this zelem. Okay? This is the true composite being, right? A physical body that has a nefesh, an animating spark, holy spark, a nitzot from God. Okay? Attached to this spark, or this is a connection, an invisible to the human eye, naked eye, an invisible connection, an axis, okay, that links it to the Yetzer that, well, I guess I can just say it this way. The Nefesh has built into it the Yetzer, the Yetzer Hara, the urge to do evil. Evil urge, okay, and because it's attached to the nefesh, which is the animating spark, holy spark for the physical body, this urge to do evil is almost always expressed in the form of physical urges that seek to satisfy the body urges, the appetites of the body, overeating, sexual excesses. Things of this nature. The physical expression of hostility through aggression, okay, aggressive action and emotions. This is the way that these things are expressed. Okay. And so we have that influence on the whole man or whole woman. We have the influence of the body, okay, spoken of by my teacher as the spell of the body. This is the urge to the urge to do evil things, unclean things. Okay, to follow the path of darkness. Okay, and that's attached to the body and expresses itself largely through, and speaks out of the body. But then we have the other part of us, the divine component of us, which is the spiritual body in the image of God, the zelem that was blown into our nostrils at the moment we became alive in the womb, in our mother's wombs. Okay? And that's the Yetzer HaTov, the urge to do good. Okay? This urge comes to us from that part of the divine soul that is attached to and animates the spiritual body. Just as there's an animating spark to the physical body, there's an animating spark to the zelum, the spiritual body. It also is called nefesh, because that's all nefesh means, is the animating or vital as in the word, as in life, okay, enlivening, okay, the enlivening spark, okay, that makes us, as it said in Genesis 2, verse 6 or 7, where it says, and he became chaya, living. Okay? So when God blew this ruach, his divine breath, into us, he gave us this image of himself in the form of a spiritual body, which if we could see it, would look like a physical body. Okay? However, we can't see it. And so it's a spiritual body. It's enclosed and bound to our physical bodies. This is our spirit. Okay, this is another word for this spiritual body, is our spirit. We hear people talk about our hearts, our minds, our spirits, or our bodies, minds, and spirits. We hear that three-part quality forming our whole. Okay, body, mind, and spirit. Right, that's our spirit. This zelum, this spiritual image, is our spiritual body that's enclosed in and bound to our physical body, and it is animated. It has to have a holy spark, or it too will go away. It too will cease to exist. It will return to God from whom it came. Okay, and that spark is the same type of spark that animates the physical body. It too is called a nefesh. Okay, so we have two bodies. Now, this is what I wanted to clear up. I want to make sure everybody understands this. We have two bodies. We have a physical body animated by one of the holy sparks of God called a nefesh. And we have a spiritual body, which I refer to as a tzelem, T-Z-E-L-E-M, okay, which is animated also by one of God's holy sparks called a nefesh. Okay, each one of those holy sparks is a portal, a connecting point, an axis to the two sides of God, the right and left hand sides of God. The physical body's nefesh is a portal to the dark side of God, the side of evil, the side of darkness and corruption and pollution. The side referred to by some Kabbalists as the side of excrement. Okay? And that connection to that side, to that Sitra Akra, the other side of God, the left-hand side of God, okay, that connection is called the Yetzer Hara. And it evidences itself in us through an urge. An urge to do evil things, an urge to follow the dark side. Okay? The nefesh, that is the holy spark that animates the zelum, the spiritual body, that is bound to and enclosed by our physical body. Okay, that nefesh is a portal to God's right-hand side, the side of life, the side of light, the side of loving kindness and mercy and compassion, all the good things that God has. And so it evidences itself in us in an urge to follow the good path, to do good things, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Okay, so we have these two competing urges built into us because we have two bodies. And in those two bodies are two nefeshim, two nitzatzat, two holy sparks, each of which is connected to an opposite side of God, and each of which brings in the influences of those opposing sides of God. So, as as I started out saying in our last teaching, when I quoted Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, the 13th century Spanish Kabbalist, he said, "How can you expect me to be perfect when I am full of contradictions?" That's where the contradictions come from, okay? Is this double nature of man, the composite being, the last of the composite beings. Okay, let me check our time here. I hate to start on a new subject here if we don't have enough time to even get it started. So let me just check here. What have we got? Okay, we're at 31 minutes right now, so I'm not going to start the new subject. I'll just talk a little bit more about this one. And well, what I'll do is I will read a beginning quote, okay, that we will be going into tomorrow, because I'm going to talk tomorrow quite extensively on the five levels of divine soul. But first I want to read to you a teaching. And here's the teaching. I'll read it first and then I'll tell you where it's from. Quote, "It should be known that the man himself is the spirit that is within the body, and the body enclothes the man, and is not the man himself. Let it be known that man unites together all the four worlds, Atzilut, Berea, Yetzirah, Asiya, and therefore, in order to unite these four worlds, he must have in him parts from these four worlds. These parts from the four worlds are called Naranchi, Naranchi, the abbreviation of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yahira, the five names of the soul." Okay, this is a, and I'm going to read to you, I'll just read this to you. This is a teaching received by the Arizal from a higher source taught to him by Eliyahu, the prophet, and passed on through the pure vessel of the soul of the Maharaku. In his book titled Sha'ar HaGilgul. You know, what does that mean? Okay, it means that this teaching, which I will repeat in a moment, because it's a great transition from yesterday and today's teaching to tomorrow's. Okay, it's a great bridge teaching. But this teaching was received by the Arizal, which is a nickname, abbreviation actually, for the great 16th century Safed teacher, Rabbi Isaac Luria, okay, called the Arizal. And he received this teaching from a higher source through, taught to him directly by Eliyahu, which is Hebrew for Elijah the prophet. That's right, Elijah the prophet. Okay, and then the Arizal passed it on through the teachings that he gave to his students, most preeminent of which was Maharhu, which is a nickname for Rabbi Chaim Vital. Okay, Rabbi Chaim Vital, who wrote it down in a book titled Sha'ar HaGilgul, which means the gateway to reincarnation. Sha'ar HaGilgul, gateway to reincarnation. Okay. Yes, the Arizal received direct teaching from the spirit of Elijah the prophet. Okay, I will not go into that in more detail other than to say, do I believe it? Yes, absolutely. As other great Kabbalists have received such teaching. Now, the teaching itself, here it is again. I'll read it again and then I'll discuss it just a little bit. "It should be known that the man himself is the spirit that is within the body, and the body encloses the man and is not the man himself." Well, that's exactly what I've been teaching today, isn't it? Exactly what I've been teaching today. That what we call ourselves as human beings is a composite being. We have a physical body, And we have a spiritual body. And what does the Arizal teach here? It should be known that the man himself, in other words, our real selves, our real I, in quotes, okay, not eyeball, but I, the pronoun I, self, is the spirit that is within the body. And the body enclothes the man and is not the man himself. Okay? So the physical body enclothes the spiritual body. And as I call it, the zelum. Okay? The spiritual body. Okay, that's teaching, a direct teaching of the Arizal that he received directly from a spiritual visit on the part of Elijah, Prophet Elijah. Okay, and then the Arizal goes on to teach us. Let it be known that man unites together all the four worlds. And this is what I'll be teaching on tomorrow, okay? Atzilut, Berea, Yetzirah, Asiya. And therefore, in order to unite these four worlds, he must have in him parts of these four worlds. These parts from the four worlds are called Naranki. Naranki. That's spelled N as in Nun, A-R as in Resh, A-N as in Nun, Ch, okay, as in Ket, and Y, okay, as in Yod. Okay, the abbreviation of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yahida, the five names of the soul. Okay, so man unites the four worlds, but in order to do so, he must have in him parts from these four worlds. And what are the parts that are in him from the four worlds? They are the five names of the soul, the five levels of the soul, which are nefesh, going from the bottom up, nefesh, meaning bottom, meaning the lowest form, nefesh, which I already taught on today, which is nothing more really than the vitalizing holy spark, anitzak, ruach, the next level up, neshama, the third level up, chaya and yahida, the five names of the soul. Okay. That will be all that I'm going to teach on today. We will go into in detail these five levels of divine soul associated with or corresponding to the five worlds. And if we have time, get into the four levels of consciousness that can be attained by man. Okay. In the meantime, has been recorded and will be, this teaching today, which was live, has been recorded and will be rebroadcast tonight in the same room at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific time, or later tonight it will be posted as an MP3 file on our website at www.beitshemtov.org. Beit, B-E-I-T, SHEMTOV.org, BeitShemTov.org, okay, under audio archives. All right, so you can listen to it anytime you want if you'd like. It's recorded there, or it's saved there as an MP3 file. Okay, in the meantime, we will be continuing the live teaching again this coming Wednesday at the same time and in the same room as today. And in the meantime, until we meet again, I ask God for his blessing upon you. And don't forget to remember God at least twice each day. May you go from strength to strength. Be well. Zai Gesund.